You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And save her. Let her believe it. Get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her. And never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right. Then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Dr. Dawn Karima, and today we'll be talking about new ways of knowing, ways that we can bring our culture, our language, our heritage, who we are, into our children's education, our youth's education, and our own lifelong learning. And our guest today is the absolute perfect person to help us do that. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, I'm Dwayne Brayboy. I am Tuscarora from North Carolina in Robeson County, and I am enrolled at Prospect Longhouse.
I'm overjoyed that you are here. Welcome.
Thank you. Watkenherate. Thank you. Welcome, and thank you for inviting me here. It's really an honor.
Oh, my pleasure and my privilege. I have the wonderful honor of being the executive director of Wells of Victory Incorporated, and we have several divisions, Indigenous Mama and Indigenous Inspiration, and we now have Indigenous Inspiration Academy, our homeschool division. And so this conversation is especially important to me because I truly believe that as Indigenous or tribal people, all of our education used to be all day long, every day. Our elders taught us. We learned from people who knew, and, you know, we had a different attitude toward education and learning. And so I'm welcoming you here today because you have done something absolutely remarkable. you have decolonized education. And I would love to hear about your journey in learning your language, preserving your language, and now teaching it to your people.
Yes, it has been a journey, quite a journey. Language is our language reclamation and revitalization. It's kind of like a decolonial intervention. You know, we're taking it back. And language reclamation, it just goes beyond language revitalization, because that tends to, I feel like language revitalization programs and such that I've seen, not just with indigenous languages, but just from around the world, language revitalization in general, there seems to be a structure. They tend to place the focus on the language itself instead of identifying the social factors and the power structures that influence language shifts and the way that languages changes, have changed. Sometimes in Tuscarora, you know, our language is a living language, so just like any other language, it evolves. So sometimes we'll find old documents or something from 300 years ago, and there will be some strange words in it, and have to realize or understand that our language is living, so it has evolved. But, you know, the language reclamation, you know, it also helps. A benefit of this is that it, I was thinking about this morning, it connects people who are separated from their home community. You know, some Indian nations have been split or otherwise scattered, but their language binds them together. That's becomes part of their core identity. And you know, a common pattern in indigenous communities is to think of language relationally. The people and their languages are intertwined. So often people see them as the same thing. Yeah, so these are all ideas and thoughts that I've had about language reclamation that has inspired my journey to go from next to nothing at birth and to teaching the language now.
That's tremendous, first of all. You know, I congratulate and applaud that accomplishment. That's amazing. And then I thank you for being generative enough then to teach what you have learned to other people and bring that knowledge full circle as well. I'm really interested in what you said, and I'm now going to start saying it too, but the decolonial intervention, because I absolutely believe that's what homeschooling is for so many of us. It's a moment to just stop and say, we're going to do things differently. We're going to learn things. We're going to have new ways of knowing. So could we talk about that a little bit from a practical side? What steps do we take at any age, in any situation, to start that kind of intervention in our lives?
I feel that normalizing language and anything we want to pass on to our next generation and the generation after them, you know, I was talking with a tribal sister yesterday about this and saying that it is... Well, it's like this. It may seem awkward to us or strange if for us to, say, reclaim our language and there's maybe words that sound strange or difficult or whatever, or some custom that we're reviving. It may feel awkward or strange for us at first, but and it may feel that way for a long time, but to our children, it's going to be firsthand knowledge to them.
Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So I think that is a very real way of decolonizing, of reclaiming the sacred, and instilling that into the next generation. Yeah.
That's perfect.
So our homeschooler mothers like you are real warriors of our nations.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Oh, thank you. That's very encouraging also, because I love what you said, everything about it. And I think back, I taught ESL at the college level. And one of the things that one of my students told me was that when they had tried to learn English before, they were just verbs and conjugations and declensions and nouns. You know, it was just pieces and parts. But in my class, it was all conversational, but it was applied. Like, we actually went to the grocery store and things like that, you know.
Right.
We used what we were learning. And I wonder if that is something that we can start to do at every level of our lives, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are. We can start to apply our tribal languages and knowledge to what we do. And
yes,
makes it come alive. Otherwise, it's museum quality. It's
exactly.
I know these words, but I can't send you a Christmas card with them on there. I can't, you know, tell you what this means, or I can't apply it to my life in any way. I can't pray. And that, I think, should be the goal at this point of these kinds of moments in our lives, is to actually make them part of our lives. Not just over here, I'll use this, and then I'll use this, but I'll speak this way whenever I can and whenever I can apply it. So let's think of some places where we can put our languages, our cultures, our traditions, just into everyday life, and have more success with decolonizing our education. What do you think?
I think that's wonderful, and that's what I do, and that's what I tell my students to do. I always encourage everybody to speak the language. Don't just look at it on paper. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, you're practicing language with your parents, and you walk into the kitchen and you ask your mother what her name is in the language,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Sure, it may seem really silly at first, but but that's real life practice. Yeah. And, you know, I was saying that, you know, in my house, you know, if one of us sneezes on the other end of the house in another room or whatever, you know, we still say sit pat, which is in Tuscarora, that's what we say for bless you in Tuscarora.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so using that, you know, which doesn't mean bless you, by the way. You know, sit pat, it means you live.
Oh, yes. Amen, especially in these perilous times, yes.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, using words like that in everyday language, because we all sneeze, you know, that is very real life application.
I love that, because I want to remind us all that throughout history, education and learning were real life, all day, everyday applications. So I love your approach to it, because it makes every moment count. Every moment then becomes a precious opportunity to have a new way of knowing and a new way of thinking. And so let's look a little bit about some of the areas that we can begin to decolonize in our own lives and in the lives of our youth and our children, places that there are spaces for our native ways, or our tribal ways, or indigenous ways, or for our friends from other cultures as well, their beautiful ways. And I wonder how you feel about these. For example, food, clothing, the way that we interact with others, and how we think and know spiritually. So much of education has tried to take that away, you know, that there's no space for spirituality in public school education. But we have it. And it's part of the framework of our lives. And so we must let ourselves experience it, and we must then teach our children how to experience it. So when you think of some of the ways that we can decolonize, you know, areas of our lives, are there some that are especially important to you?
I believe that what's important to me and has been something that I've always taken notice of in the decolonization process is, as I have increased my Tuscarora, I have the worldview mm-hmm. of my ancestors,
yeah.
how their worldview is woven intimately into our language in every part of it. Really, it's changed my worldview
mm-hmm.
in a good way. That's something that I've always taken notice of in the language journey. You know, the different ways of the literal meanings of words. You know, like say in a small example might be like our word, kind of a possessive word. You know, our possessive word way of saying things for possessive, it isn't like, it's mine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, it lays with so-and-so, you know? Yagunisaye, you know, she has a house. You know, that's more like, you know, a house lays with her. You know, that's like over there, she's with this house, the house is with her, you know, it's, you know, and that's kind of the way we express that possessiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not so much like this is mine and mine alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, you know, oh no, there's a house over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's less, it feels less selfish in the language.
I love
that. You know, so that's just a small aspect of how I've come to realize those sorts of changes in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love that because you're also building character. You're building a Tuscarora with the language.
Yes.
You're actually, and that is something I think we don't talk about enough, is the fact that when we are educated by someone else, we're built in their image. It's not necessarily that we will come out of those schools and institutions as ourselves. And I think about Malcolm X, he said only a fool would let his enemy educate his children. And I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think about the ways in which education without incorporation of culture and spirituality create something in the image of the educator, not necessarily our own image. And I tell this a lot, and you already know it, but most of the time, I wear ribbon skirts or traditional patchwork skirts to just do life. I don't just dress up for powwows and stomp dance. I mean, I wear them, and I'll wear a sweater or a sweatshirt or a t-shirt or whatever, you know, but that is the base of my wardrobe. And there's such a peace, even though I'm in mainstream America and I'm doing things that are, you know, in mainstream Canada and doing things in maybe mainstream Mexico or in the Caribbean, wherever I happen to be at the time, that is something that's consistent with me, and it brings me a lot of peace. And that's what the language is like as well, that no matter where you are in the world, everyone who speaks like you, the ancestors that have spoken like you, the descendants that will speak like you, having that language in your mouth, no matter where you are, helps you to remember who you are. And so,
I agree.
Practically speaking, I feel as if when we arm our children with their language, we are preparing them to do battle with a lot of things that they will face, whether we like it or not. Racism, misogyny, just some of the supremacy that we have seen manifest. I believe when you have your own words in your mouth, there is a power there. And there is a whole community that will come and save you. And so what are the benefits to us of adding culture and language and tradition to standard education?
Well, I think that a good, this might be a good place to recite this information from the United Nations website that I saw recently.
Sure.
And the United Nations website had, they had written on their site that the complex knowledges and cultures fostered by indigenous languages are increasingly being recognized as strategic resources for good governance, peace building, reconciliation, and sustainable development. So the United Nations made this statement, and I wholeheartedly agreed.
Yes. I appreciate you sharing that with me because, you know, we all know that there was a time when it was literally illegal for us to practice our traditions and pray in our ways and practice our culture. There were literally laws that would not let us be who we are. And now to hear the United Nations saying, oh, yeah, this is totally valuable, even after the residential schools tried to wipe it out, right? The boarding school generation, you know. And then to think that President Joe Biden has just signed a bill into law that's aimed at preserving Native American languages. That's the Durbin Feeling Native American Languages Act. And that's actually going to require federal departments to study ways to revitalize and preserve tribal languages. What a time to be alive.
You know? I know, right? There's always, you know, despite the new dark age, there's always a silver lining. You know, there is reason to have hope, and this is one of them. I mean, what wonderful news that is. You know, that was so glad to hear that.
Oh, me too. I mean, one of the things, too, that makes me so happy with the United Nations and even President Biden signing this legislation into law is that it takes some of the convincing away from us. I mean, I remember my parents having to convince my teachers that a tribal language should be used for language requirements or that I should be able to wear my regalia when we had International Cultures Day, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, that we had to constantly sort of prove, okay, let's get out the sovereignty and the debate about documentation and all of that. And yet when this takes place in the mainstream, we don't need their approval. We weren't waiting for this to validate us. But what it does, especially for parents, is it legitimizes what we have been saying all along. It amplifies what we have been trying to tell you all this time. And that is the beauty of it.
Right. You know, I was thinking a minute ago about what you were saying about the times that we were not allowed to speak our language.
Right.
One of the standards of one of our treaties that we Tuscaroras here in North Carolina had with the government was that the government had mandated that Tuscarora children would have to be taught English in their school system, and that and then of course after they taught Tuscarora children English in their schools, then came the punishment for speaking the Tuscarora language, and so that's how they conditioned it out of us. Yeah, so it's literally part of one of our treaties.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so that's why I'm taking it back.
Yeah.
I'm one of the one of those who's taken it back, and for all those who couldn't.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think also, wow, it's so powerful, too, when we think about the shame, you know, that our languages, our culture, I mean, for years, people were teased or made fun of blanket Indians or being backwards or, you know, not progressive for wearing our clothing or speaking our languages or eating the way we did or living the way we did. And now we're at a point, I believe, where the whole world in the new dark age, as you so expertly call it, is looking for answers and they're not finding them. And we've had them all along. They never have. And so I see the mainstream attention to us, the UN, the this new law, all as ways of saying, wow, okay, we should be part of this conversation. People will be looking to us for answers, and we do have them. And so when I think about language and culture and passing it on, what are some practical ways that we can begin to decolonize ourselves, like today? Like, we don't have to necessarily, you know, go get a degree in Native Studies or move to another country and explore our roots or something like that, but we can actually do it today, start doing it today.
Yeah, that's a very good question, and I'm sure that there's a lot of different answers for that, but I think that my answer would be that we have to start with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And start from there. We have to understand our roles in society. We have to honor ourselves and honor our people. You know, and understand. You know, begin to understand. You know what it means to be Ekwehanwe, as we say in Tuscarora. You know, like the real people,
mm-hmm.
you know, the genuine people. That's something that I think that people have to start doing. Not that everyone's not doing it, but I think that people, that really is an important component of this. Mm-hmm. You know, humility, the seven teachings, you know, read up on that. I think that the seven sacred teachings really puts it in perspective. And, you know, understanding, you know, honor and, you know, all of the seven teachings.
Yeah.
I also think that, you know, being a part of one's community,
mm-hmm.
you know, after oneself, stepping out of that circle and into a slightly larger circle of family and community, how we're all related, you know, and then how we're all related to everything else and everyone else,
mm-hmm.
how we're related to the earth, you know, how we're related to other people. I think all of those things help the decolonization process.
Oh, yes. Wow. Well said. Well said. And by saying that, you have really empowered us a lot. Because I think one of the things we have to do is believe in us. We have to believe that our languages are just as valuable as Romance languages. We have to believe that our ways are just as good, just as enduring and positive and uplifting as anything else anybody could give us. And what you're saying, it gives us courage and strength to believe that and then to stand on it. I'm amazed. You know, we do now, we have some homeschooling resources for Indigenous homeschoolers now, and it's a really exciting time for me and for all of us working here. And we're always amazed that, for example, online curriculums, virtual curriculums, a lot of the homeschooling curriculums are so great. They're terrific. But when they get, for example, to foreign language, or they get to studying things around the world or whatever, we're not there. Even though we're right here, you know, we're right in the USA and Canada, we're right here.
Right.
And we have to then say, well, I understand you have a unit on German or a unit on France or French language or something like that, but we'll be using our indigenous language because that's just as valid and just as important to our children's future as a language in a country that they may never see.
Absolutely.
So you're
that is so true. And the importance of that, of our own languages, and not just, say, Indian languages.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, the Irish people, mm-hmm. You know, learning Irish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thinking of other, you know, Scottish people or just,
Welsh?
You know, the Welsh mm-hmm. people, you know.
The Ainu of
these sorts of
Sami in Norway. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. So all languages deserve to be preserved.
Mm-hmm.
That's my perspective. It doesn't. I mean, I focus on Tuscarora because that's my people.
Yes.
but I do believe that just, there's a whole school of knowledge that I believe each language and even a dialect holds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when those languages die or dialects die, then so does that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And that's why, you know, whenever I meet somebody who speaks a different language, you know, I sometimes I will just ask random things like, how might you say this mm-hmm. in your language?
Mm-hmm.
And then what does this literally mean in your language?
Right.
You know, because that helps me understand their worldview. And, you know, the shortest distance between people is understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mm-hmm. always my goal to try and understand people as best I can. Help, you know, understand where they're from in the world, what their worldview is.
Well, that's why this show is called Conversations with Dawn Karima. You know, because I really believe everything starts with conversation. Everything does. And our languages,
yes.
our worldview, when we exchange those things, we do come into deeper understanding. We love the Romance languages. We love all the languages that have been privileged over the years. We just want to love ours, too, and love yours,
right.
and love everyone else's. And then all of the things that happen, I love what you said about dialect, because, you know, we've talked a lot about the fact that, for example, in the mountains of North Carolina, which is my home, you can learn a lot about the weather and climate change and farming soil and things you can eat and can't eat and medicines and all of these wonderful things that are in the dialect, in the use of
words. Mm, yeah.
Right? And if you take the time to know us and learn us, you'll learn a lot about that terrain, all of the beautiful resources in it, and a lot about the world around us. And I think that languages are not just something we have to keep remembering, that there are people in all of these ideas. History is not just stories, it's people. Like words and phrases and phonics, it's people. And as soon as we realize that, then we're doing a great exchange, because we're all talking heart to heart, instead of just, oh, there they are, and here we are. And I think there's a lot of reconciliation that can come from decolonizing ourselves and others. I have to pay the bill with a few commercials, but when we come back, I am loving this conversation, and I can't wait to have more of it. We'll be right back.
Come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. What's the world forgave you?
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hello.
They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? Just clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward, doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Yate, Native people are at high risk for serious flu complications. Pregnant women, young children, elders, and anyone with health conditions like diabetes and heart disease are especially vulnerable. Please get a yearly flu vaccine. Your flu vaccine protects me. My flu vaccine protects you. Together, let's protect the circle of life. Learn more. Call 1-800-232-4636 or visit cdc.gov/flu.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just going to drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh, man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on, man, let's put a ride home.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on irs.gov. Go to irs.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
My life was going downhill fast. Everybody was on my case. Now, I kept hoping that life would change real soon. I knew drinking too much messed up my life. A friend suggested I check out AA. It worked. I found myself in an AA group. Finally, I've got my act together.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. This is a minimally invasive procedure. It is radiation-free, may destroy prostate cancer cells, and potentially has few side effects. This investigational procedure is performed at no cost to the patient. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com. Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com.
Oh, my heart is so happy right now. I love this conversation because I love this guest, and I love what we are talking about today because it's like light into all of us who are raising our children, educating ourselves, trying to think about the education we received and what we can add now to it. This is very, very exciting. Would you please reintroduce yourself to our friends again?
Yes, my name is Dwayne Brayboy. My Tuscarora name is Runaguache. I am Tuscarora from North Carolina, Robeson County, and Bear Clan from Prospect Longhouse.
I'm really happy you're here. We love you, and we appreciate you so much. And when you said Bear Clan just now, that brought me to something else I think is so important to us, all of us, regardless of who you are and where you come from, to reclaim those kinds of pieces of our identity. You know, for us, your clan tells you everything you need to know about you, and it tells everything you need to know about you to everyone else. Like when you say, I come from this clan, we know what your role is in the culture. We know who you are. We know who your relatives are. We know perhaps what you were given to think about or to study or to learn as part of the culture and the tribe. And what does it mean to you to know your clan?
Well, I agree with you. It does. It is a very integral part of my identity, being Bear Clan and coming from a Bear Clan family, a very true traditional Bear Clan family. As far back as my family, my living family in my lifetime has known, my great-great-grandmother was a medicine woman in our community in Saddle Tree. My great-grandmother was a medicine woman in the same community, and then that medicine was passed down, that knowledge, and that's what Bear Clan is. You know, the Bear Clan is the medicine clan, and we know about the different medicines, how to use them, how to gather them, and that's been part of my upbringing, that's been part of my life.
Yeah.
Even some, you know, my great-grandmother, who raised my mother for a while, Mom told me growing up that my great-grandmother, who we just called Ma, she would only harvest or certain medicines on the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow. See, I love that. I love hearing that from you. Thank you for sharing that, because I believe that in this world, these pandemics and politics and just, wow, I mean, these are some truly troublesome times. I think especially our young people need everything in the arsenal. Everything. I mean, it might take powwows, it might take preaching, it might take stomp dance, it might take singing, it might take a traditional education, and it might take public school education. I don't know, but I'm at a point where I believe we have to give them everything we can that's good to empower them to lead their lives in this perilous times. And I was thinking about something really beautiful that happened, and my wonderful son was, somebody was teasing him, and it wasn't somebody close to us, but there was somebody that, you know, was part of the family, but they were just teasing. They were making a joke about something, like, and they were saying something about cigarettes, and he just stopped what he was doing, and he said, "I'm a panther. We don't do that."
Oh, wonderful.
And I wasn't even in the room. I was in the doorway. Like, I didn't even, he wasn't looking at me. I didn't coach him. He did, but he said that and went back to playing with his little toy fire truck. And I thought, well, I won't have to worry about you a whole lot.
Right.
Sleep at night.
Well.
And I believe when we give our children their heritage, as much of it, I understand people are reconnecting. We're not talking about any one particular indigenous tribe or culture, whatever it is your cultural heritage is, our friends who are listening, as much of it as possible, right? Even if it's a part of the heritage of where you're from and what you do in your particular region or how you do things or your beliefs, your values. I think when they're good values, they will help our children go far. And so our tribal values and our tribal legacy in that moment, they were protecting him. Even if I'm not there to run somebody off, you know, or whatever, those kinds of ways of knowing are ways of protecting and strengthening our young people, but also ourselves. When we know how we carry ourselves, how do we carry ourselves in the world? What are the ways that we behave? What is the knowledge that we know and what we do? When we know that, even as adults, there's a security in that. There's a courage and a safety that comes out of knowing that you're loved and that you are connected. And there's a power in that. So what do
There's
you,
a lot of power.
There is a lot of power. There really is. You know, and I know that sounds like people say stuff like that, and you go, mm-hmm, everyone nods. But then there are those moments when that power, when you have to say your prayers, when you have to survive something traumatic, when you have to, there is something marvelous about all the power in our ways of knowing and being. What are some of the things about being Tuscarora that you want young Tuscarora to know and experience?
I want the young people to understand what it means to be culturally Tuscarora. That's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the language, everything. The songs, the dances, the drumming, you know, the language, the people, the cooking, you know, all of it is what makes us who we are. And my goal is to make that as authentic as possible,
mm-hmm.
And in every way I can.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe it is so important to instill these values and this culture and worldview into the young people. Goes back to what I was saying earlier about telling my tribal sister yesterday, look, you know, if you say these words or these phrases or something in your home every day, yeah, it may seem awkward to you at first, mm-hmm. for a while, mm-hmm. but to your young children, they're just mm-hmm. going to grow up knowing that mama always said that.
Yes, right.
And this is how I know it. And that's, then it's really authentically part of their identity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that because you're right. I mean, I was raised speaking my language and practicing my culture and traditions. And I don't think you could remove it at this point. Not that I'd want to. It's just in there.
Right.
And I see now how it'll protect you. It'll save you. It'll help you. It'll comfort you. It'll encourage you. It'll uplift you. It'll inspire you. It'll keep you on a good path and a good way. And I want that for our young people. I really do. I want that for all people. All of the gems and jewels that are hidden in your own language, in your own traditions, in your own culture and family. And I think that will put an end to cultural appropriation as well, when people realize that there's
Celtic culture and Gaelic culture. And, you know, the other day we had a wonderful meeting with a nonprofit that is reclaiming Viking culture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Unithraquat. Yeah, that's amazing.
It is. And they're doing homeschool lessons for children that are of Scandinavian descent. And I thought, this is how it is. This is how it is to be connected, but this is also how it is to truly be who we were created to be. And I want that for us. So, practical steps, you know, the get off the couch step. We've got to start doing it.
Right.
We've got to apply it to our lives because these conversations are wonderful and they're so necessary. But our children are growing up right now, today. Our young people are in college right now, today. And there is an alarming dearth. In fact, there are places trying to pass laws to keep cultural knowledge and history, you know, accurate history from being taught.
Right.
Okay. So what do we do?
Yeah. Well, it begins at home.
Okay.
That's, you know, it begins in the home. It begins in the community. You know, there have been times where I have specifically taught Tuscarora history classes in person and over Zoom because I want all the young people and even the older people who, you know, were just trying to survive during the termination era and doing everything they could just to stay alive. So they missed out on being able to know about all of our history, you know, and such, you know, like, I don't know, the terms in these treaties and such, you know, that they weren't previously aware of, that I'm making them aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we know who we are, people who are, I'll often say, people who forget where they come from will never know where they're going.
Right. No, that's absolutely true. 100%.
Right. So my goal is to make sure all Tuscaroras know where we've been, know where our ancestors have been, and know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And what was going on at the times, what was happening to them. That sort of knowledge, you know, you can't unlearn it.
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes part of you.
Yes. Yes. See, this is so precious to me because I believe that for so long, a lot of education that was presented to people of color, to indigenous people, to minorities and women, and even the word minorities is not right anymore because we are the majority on the planet. But we are given an education that causes us to internalize senses of inferiority or a sense that another people group is more powerful or intelligent or better than we are. And so for so long, what we were given became part of us. And so, and sometimes it caused us to vilify our own roots or to be ashamed of them or to walk away from them or to not think of them as valuable and precious. And decolonizing our education, decolonial intervention, suddenly says, all right now, I am made out of something wonderful. I'm made of stars, and I'm going to let them shine. And as we transmit that to our young people, as we transmit that to ourselves, there's a healing that begins in that. You're not starting as something less than and being taught in a way that will cause you to finally maybe be able to assimilate. You're starting as wonderful. You're starting as good and right and bringing that to the table with other people who are too. And that's what changes the world, I believe. One way I wanted to ask you this because of your own wonderful way of living in the world, but what does the world look like to you when we reclaim our cultures, our traditions, our languages? What's the benefit of that?
Well, all of this is the language reclamation, the reclaiming the sacred, everything about us. It's such a great flavor enhancer,
you
know, culturally speaking and in our lives. And my how I see it is people living authentically. I've said this in different ways before, but when people are raised right and they know these things, they know their history, they know their language, they know the seven sacred teachings, they know how to be an honorable person, you know, I think that there's a real beauty that comes into the world because these people aren't performing this. They're living the only way they know how to live.
Oh, I love it.
That authenticity, I think, is beautiful.
Yes, it is. It's exhausting to try to walk in two worlds unless you're fully grounded in one.
Yes.
You're helping us so much today. And I want to make sure that I give you the mic and let you speak directly from your heart to people who are considering learning their language, who want to maybe reconnect with their language, who are thinking about teaching it to our children and youth, who maybe want to add it in their classroom or their homeschool. I want to just ask you to speak from your heart right now. Please.
Well, I would start by saying that you're needed. You know, whether you feel important in your family or community, you're needed. You've got work to do. And, you know, maybe everyone's work isn't going to be a fluent speaker in the end, but they may be a fluent singer and dancer. You know, there's, you know, it's our belief that everybody serves a purpose. You know, that's just a long-held belief in my communities, you know. Everyone serves a purpose. No one is irrelevant. You know, we don't throw our own people away. You know, and so I would say that there are people out there who need you, and to find what it is that you need to be doing, you know, is it art? Is it writing? Is it learning your people's language or the singing and dancing or, you know, weaving such, you know, crafts? You know, whatever it is, your people need you more than you know. And so I encourage everyone to find out what their path is and get on that path, because I believe that when people's heads and hearts are right, that path will carry them to their destiny. That's my belief.
Wow. Shmami, awesome. This has been a fabulous conversation, as always, and I'm so thankful that you were here with us today. Thank you so much for joining us and for these good words and wonderful, wonderful lessons that you are teaching us.
I'm so grateful to be here. It really is always an honor, and it's always good medicine to talk with you.
Well, we love you with all our hearts, and we are so thankful to you, and we are thankful for you.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, Gakanorekwa. I love y'all too.
We love everyone who listens to this show, and we are so grateful to the people who make this show possible. This is a labor of love, and yet so many of you open your hearts and make it possible. We are grateful. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm happy that you joined us today, and I can't wait till we're all together again. I hope someone's told you today, but just in case, oh, the Creator loves you. And all of us here, we do too. We'll see you next time.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. What the world forgave you.
Can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her and never look back once the war forget.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.